February 27th, 2018 is hereby called to order. I have no changes to the agenda to present this meeting. Do I have any changes to the agenda this morning? Conditions? Councilor Fancy?
Yes, I'd like to put a report in for our littering, illegal dumping committee.
That would be under 15-0 other.
Okay.
Any others to add today? A motion to approve the agenda as circulated and amended would be in order. Moved by Councilor Frelick, seconded by Councilor Fancy. Any discussion?
Question.
Ready for the question? All in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. I'd like to welcome everyone here today to the meeting. Good to have such a nice turnout. Under 3.0, we have 3.1, Transportation Working Group. We have a presentation this morning. Who would be presenting that, if I might ask?
Hi, thank you for having us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll move the slides.
Or I can move the slides.
So I'll begin. My name is Sheila Bird. I'm here on behalf of the Queens Transit Working Group and Queens County Transit Society. I'm a consultant that's been working with the board since August, and this is my business partner.
Hello, I'm Edan Branch, and as Sheila said, we've been working with the Queens County Transit Group since when? Since
August.
And I'm John Murray. I think I know just about everybody here. My position here is just basically to give you an introduction as to what it's all about. Again, I think most people do know what it's all about. But I will try to give you some semblance of why we are where we are today and how we got here. And there it is. I suspect you should be seeing. We've been around for a while, but 4 years. This is the Queens Transit Society I'm talking about, which is an advocating group. We wanted to make this a better community for seniors in any way that we could. And the two things that jumped out at us were housing and transportation. Again, I think you all know that. But for us just to say that that's what was most important to look at in the community, we felt that we needed to validate that. So with the help of the region, which we appreciated very much, we struck a survey which was done by Dalhousie, very professionally. We had a very big rate of return. It wasn't just seniors, it was different ages. And it was loud and clear. Number one, they felt they needed more housing in the community. That's a generalization, but that's not the topic today. They made it clear that number two, they needed some form of way to get around in the community that's accessible. Now that's the difference. It needs to be accessible. Because there's a lot of people who can't walk up the stairs of a bus. They have to be moved up with a lift or whatever. We want those people to have the opportunity to come to town and to be included in what goes on in the community. So that's how we decided that would be a prime project for the Queens Care. But because we are an advocating group, that we knew at some point we were going to pass it over, and that's basically, the board met yesterday for the first time. Ken Culthorpe is the new chairman of that group, and they will be the people who will run the bus system. I call it a bus system, it's really a transit system, but you know, you're not going to see a great big long shiny bus running through town, at least not in the beginning. So Dalhousie did a wonderful job. It was very clear, very strong, and that validated what we wanted to do. We have just finished a feasibility study that was completed last year to determine whether this was feasible to do or not. And it came out positively that it was feasible to do. And that was a joint effort between the region and ourselves, the Queens Care Society. And again, we appreciate very much your help with that. So now we're looking for funding for a second phase, which again, will be a multi-effort. The money's coming in from various places. We need your help in this. Very sincerely, we need that. And I think through the presentation, you'll see that most communities, particularly rural communities, do this, as do urban communities. So this presentation covers the next phase. Our vision: the Queens Public Transportation Service shall provide an inclusive, accessible, and effective transit service that is efficient and sustainable for for residents year-round. With that, in my bobbling words, I'll shut up. So I pass this over to our cohorts, the Granite Strategies.
Great,
thank you.
Thank you. So as we see here, so this is a, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to present to you today. This is a map of the 17 transit services that are already in place in Nova Scotia and supported by the Department of Municipal Affairs through the Community Transit Transportation Assistance Program. And so as we see as well, Queens County is one of the last regions to have a transit service. And so what we know is that most transit services offer a door-to-door service with a pre-booking of a minimum of 24 hours in advance. There's a variety of ways that they provide the services. Some offer transportation strictly within their region. Some also offer transportation to medical appointments in Halifax and Kentville and Bridgewater and Yarmouth. Some offer contracts as well. We know Hope Dial-A-Ride, for instance, in Yarmouth County, who we've done work with in the past. They have contracts with the school boards, and they also have service agreements in place with the Department of Community Services. Southwest Nova Transit, that has been a really important partner for the work that we've been doing here as well. They have a volunteer driver program that helps them deliver services to more residents in their area. And so there's most services have a wheelchair accessible component, so that's a really critical piece of this. In terms of what we know in terms of fare structures, it varies depending on the different types of services. Some have zones, fares based on zones. Some have fares based on distance. A lot of services also have fare subsidies to make the service affordable for residents who aren't able to pay for the service. So there's a strong support. This is a really strong network. There's the Rural Transportation Association, so all of the members are there to support each other. So we're not reinventing the wheel. There are a lot of things already in place, policies and procedures, and all these things that the service can utilize and modify and really make a wheel that fits the needs of Queens County and its residents. So there's a strong team in place, both the working group and now the Queens County Transportation or Transit Board of Directors is a strong team, and we have a strong plan in place as well to make sure it happens.
So what is Queens County Transit all about? Well, we've heard their vision, and their vision is certainly clear, but their mission is also clear, and it's about keeping Queens connected. And it's a service that would be provided for all residents of Queens County, because we know that there is certainly a need. As John was saying, over 4 years ago, the region was an instrumental partner in identifying this need, and that need keeps being continued to be heard by our partners. And because of the large geography, the rural isolation and social isolation that some people face, and the aging demographic, these are main points around why there is such a need and why this essential infrastructure is needed for Queens County. Not only will it allow people to stay in the community, it will also allow people to move here. So this is enhancing growth for the region as well. As the last slide presented, that map really highlights that this is one of the last areas in the province that doesn't have a transit service. So you saw White Air and Eastern Shore. Well, we know that they're going to have a transit service starting up in April. We also know that Bridgewater next door, the town of Bridgewater, also has a transit service. So it's important that all our rural areas in Nova Scotia are connected. Part of the transit service is a boat being reliable, safe, accessible, and affordable. So these are the key points and key values of the transit service that is being proposed. And finally, the transit service will really work to improve the health of our communities and keeping them mobile, and again, reducing inequities and social isolation. So these are important needs that have been identified by residents in Queens County and continue to be identified by the partners that sit around the table at Queens County Transit. So this is a bit about what the service. Alain's going to get more into the details of what the service will look like. I may just add that our business plan, three-year business plan, has just been approved by the province, by Nova Scotia TRIP, was submitted last week and was finalized and approved. So many of these points have been approved for movement forward.
The service will provide door-to-door to all residents of Queen County, so every single nook and cranny of Queens County, on Monday to Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Transportation to and from medical appointments, general errands, and social events within Queens County, as well as transportation to Bridgewater, Kentville, Yarmouth, and Halifax, obviously outside of Queens County. But just for medical appointments. As well, we're going to pilot contracts and charters in year one and offer fully in year two. And two contracts are already in discussion. So, I mean, the ink wasn't even dry on the business plan and people were already approaching the service to offer quite an important service. The fare structure will be by zones within regions. So there are four regions that have been identified. But it will not exceed $10 per ride, and fare subsidies will be available. And so for this service, the expenditures are expected to be between $125,000 and $150,000 a year. So that, so in terms of the service delivery, so what will that $150,000 provide? Staff, we need a manager to help set up the service in the first year for sure. The first couple years are going to be really critical. And so the duties will include helping, you know, supporting the board, something that's not here as well as purchasing the vehicle, getting it set up, going through all the UARB licensing applications, training and recruiting and training volunteer drivers, developing the whole volunteer driver program, developing partnerships and community outreach so that the service is known and that it can continue to grow, assist with grant writing, donations, sponsorship, you know, really having different revenue streams is really important so that there's not a reliance on one pot of money. Applying for, I think the nonprofit status has already been applied for, but the charitable status is going to be something really important as well to apply for. As well, marketing, advertising, communication, doing some initial dispatching and driving duties in year one, and then hiring and training a part-time driver in year one. So the first phase is going to be the pre-pilot phase, and so no wheels on the road during that phase. Phase two within this year is the pilot phase, and so as soon as the wheels hit the road, then we have to have a part-time driver in place. In year two, that's when the part-time driver turns into a full-time driver and a part-time dispatcher would be hired. And then the part-time, and that staffing level would continue in year three. And as well, this volunteer drivers are an essential part of the service as well, and so gradual accumulation of volunteer drivers as the service continues to grow. In terms of fleet, there's going to be initially a used 9-passenger van purchased, and another vehicle will be purchased. It's projected to be purchased in year three. This what that would look like depends on the needs that kind of emerge as the service grows, and so there's a potential of perhaps securing a donation or a sponsorship from a car dealership for a van that can be turned into a wheelchair accessible van, and there's funding for that. From the province on accessible vehicles. And volunteer drivers use their own vehicles. And so it's important to remember as we talk about the service model and the service delivery that the pre-pilot and the pilot phases are really there for the group to test the model and to learn and to refine it to ensure that it's really the model that serves the needs of Queens County. So it's a bit of a testing phase.
So the good news is we are not in this alone, that there has been continual ongoing partnership development, the region being an absolute instrumental partner for the last 4 years. And I think this is really important to reinforce. We also have a vast network of stakeholders and other local partners that sit around the table because they have identified transportation as an issue themselves through their community organizations. So these are Senior Safety, Helping Hands, RCMP, the VON, Health Services, DCS, schools, nursing homes, and so on. As Alain mentioned, we are connected with the other rural transit providers in Nova Scotia as well as Southwest Nova Transit. Our provincial government, the Department of Municipal Affairs, has not only funded and financially contributed to all the processes and phases that the working group has gone through, but continues to support the process as well. So this is ongoing. The funding is ongoing through different funding streams, but mainly through Department of Municipal Affairs. We also have partnerships with employers and businesses and hope to develop further partnerships with them for things like in-kind contributions, sponsorship, donations. There'll be fundraising campaigns as well. And then finally, as I mentioned, the region being an absolute essential partner for moving forward and certainly in the past. You've invested 4 years in this service, in the development of this service. Now it's at the really exciting time to actually launch. So we are ready for that pre-pilot and pilot. The working group, the board has been formed and finalized. And so it's really important that this partnership continue. Can't emphasize that enough. We are at this critical stage for development and for moving forward. And all of these partners contribute in many ways, including financial donations and contributions. They include in-kind contributions, and they include staff support around the working group and the board for moving this forward, because they identified in the region of Queens this being an issue. So partnership is very important moving forward and has been in the past as well.
So as Sheila mentioned, municipal partnership is key, critical, I would say. So the province suggests that municipal governments contribute the equivalent to what the CTAP contribution is, which is about a third of operating costs. When they do a comparison and kind of look at all the contributions from across the province, the reality is about 16% is contributed by the municipalities. And so here we have a breakdown of 15 transit services, and so three transit services in the province have contributed between 0 and 10,000, five between 10 and 20,000, two between 20 and 40,000, two between 40 and 70,000, and three have contributed $70,000 or above to their transit service. And that covers operating costs and fare subsidies. So in terms of what's being requested of the region of Queens, so the potential contributions would be ongoing core funding for operational costs and fare subsidies, ongoing in-kind donations, so office space, equipment, supplies, ongoing staff support, in-kind support to the board, and grants to organizations, funding programs based on a per project basis.
So I get the fun slide. The budget and the ask. As I mentioned, we do have a 3-year financial projection budget. The estimated expenditures of $125,000 to $150,000 per year. We know that CTAP, Community Transit Assistance Program, through the Department of Municipal Affairs, operational funding is estimated at $52,000 for the start of phase and ongoing. As the last slide suggested, a 16% municipal contribution looks at about $20,000 to $26,000. So this is a request to Region of Queens and is split up into 3 years. Keeping in mind we're suggesting a pre-pilot in the first 6 months and a pilot in the second month. In the second 6 months, all to happen in 2018, 2019. So the funding request for the next fiscal year would be $15,750 total purchase. I will go back up, and that $3,250 has actually already been approved by council in the past for this pre-pilot phase. It is moving forward into 2018 and 19, as those dates suggest. And an additional 12,500 would be the total ask of 15,750. So what's going to happen in the next year, as Elena already suggested, hiring a manager, setting up full operations, marketing, outreach, volunteer driver recruitment, vehicle purchase, part-time driver will start, staff and volunteer training, and further marketing and outreach. So there will be a lot happening in the next year for the service. For startup, which these are referred to, pre-pilot, pilot, startup are all Nova Scotia TRIP, the provincial government, what they suggest in terms of language. So for startup for year two, 2019-2020, would be a $22,000 ask. With a full-time paid driver, part-time dispatcher, still a full-time manager, of course, and then, of course, ongoing operational costs. And then in year three, 2020 to 2021, a $26,000 ask, where a second vehicle would be purchased, a full-time manager, dispatcher, driver, ongoing operational costs. So there will be two separate Nova Scotia TRIP funding applications in early March, and again, reiterating that Region of Queen has already committed the $3,250 for the pre-pilot phase, so requesting the $12,500 for this next fiscal year. And as I suggested, the application process opens in March, and this is an important slide for you to consider. I would like to present the Queens County Transit Board of Directors. This is very exciting, as it happened officially yesterday. It has formed. The joint stocks application has not only been submitted, but has also been approved. And the board consists of Ken Colthup, Chair, Bob McGowan, Vice Chair, Bill Smythe, Treasurer, Carol Hipwell, Secretary, Len Perry, Terry Doucette, Gil Johnson, and Grant Weber, all as board members. And the startup coordinator has been hired as well. So it's on the ground working on this moving forward.
Which is different from the manager, we should say. It's just
yes.
To fill kind of the gap period before a manager's hired.
So as you can imagine, there's a lot that has to happen in the next few months, as I was highlighting. So moving forward, there will be more securing of operational funds, in-kind donations, grants, financial contributions, and sponsorships. The business plan, as we mentioned, has been finalized. There will be applications to Nova Scotia TRIP for the funding for pre-pilot and pilot phase. A manager will be hired for these phases as well. Recruiting and training volunteer drivers is an important part. And this is a really exciting important part, is continuing discussions to establish contracts. So because of the work that the working group has been doing in the community, other organizations in the community have stepped forward and said, well, we need this. We absolutely need this. So not only do we need this, we want to develop some contracts with you. So we've heard from Queen's Manor that there is a need there, a desperate need there for a transit service. And they've identified what they would like and that they would like Queens County Transit to fill this need. Also, Department of Community Services transports or tries to transport young adults living with disabilities to be able to further their education to Bridgewater. They also have identified potential contract for the service. So there's a lot of exciting potential contracts in the works that will not only help to create and develop this service, but will also help to sustain it. And that's what's really important. So that these are financial contracts that are absolutely important for your community and are happening, these ongoing conversations are happening now. And of course, the purchase of the vehicle is a big one for the next steps moving forward. So we're going to pass it back to John for some concluding remarks. Thank you for your time. And
thank you.
We're here for questions.
Thanks to both of you. When we went out to look for consultants, we ended up talking to three different groups. It was pretty obvious that Granite had done this type of thing before. They knew what the needs were in a rural area. So that's why we're so happy to have them. And by the way, a number of people from your staff have been very helpful, and no more than Mike McLeod, who's my neighbor down the road, but we appreciate everything he's done. So this is infrastructure. This is something that this community that we don't have right now, it's infrastructure, which is the way I think you should look at it. We have a good plan. You've just heard much of it. Some of you have seen more details, but it's a good, strong, realistic plan. We have a definitive budget, and that basically was put together in the past 3-4 months. Pretty impressive job, I think. We are applying for not quite 1 million grants, but I'll tell you, if there's a grant out there, we're after. And that's taken a while to learn how to do that. But let me tell you, we've started to be very successful. We have contract opportunities in the works, as you've just heard. We have established our management committee and finalizing our board of directors, which has been finalized. We very much need the Region of Queens as our partner. It's critical to the success of this. This just can't happen without it. And we've had every indication that we've been good partners all along. So I'm really asking you, I'm kind of praying that you're gonna do this. thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Could we have the lights turned back on, please? Are there any comments or questions of councillors on the presentation today? Councillor Fancy?
Yes, I guess maybe I go to John with this. When you were talking about, I think you said there's 17 different transit systems in Nova Scotia, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Province-wise, you know, if you look at things, I'm on SoSure Housing, and I hear getting down in Bridgewater, we'll talk about the new transit system and what they're doing and how they're trying to work this. I see most of it, I think in Yarmouth, it's all within the town, and then Bridgewater's all within the town. So we of course, we're clear of that barrier of being able to go to do the red tape and everything, so you can do it all at once. How many are just town-oriented, and how many are more like what you were trying to do, which is trying to take the whole community?
Well, I can give you a specific example. So Southwest Nova Transit provides services within Shelburne County, but also provides transportation for medical appointments to Halifax. And so, but Hope Dial-A-Ride in Yarmouth just provides services within their region. So it depends on UARB licensing and what you apply for and all of that, but it's a decision that the group makes in terms of what level of service. And we had, I think, 3 sessions with the working group to identify what level of service do you want to offer, and that was something that was identified, is that people need to be able to get to medical appointments beyond Liverpool. So that was the decision.
And to answer that specific question, of the 17 transit service providers in Nova Scotia, over half of them would provide a service like this geographically. So a large base, not just centered in a town.
Okay.
So our base, there's Chad in Cumberland County, Colchester County, that does the entire county. So there's many that are county focused, I guess. So yeah, this would not be the only one.
just to help you, we're hoping that there may even be a sort of a network type of system in the future, so that if there was somebody that needed to go to Halifax, we could take them to Bridgewater, Bridgewater take them to Chester, and so on. That's not a completed deal, but that's something that we're going to be working on.
I had heard there was a new system starting up at Bridgewater to Halifax.
Yeah.
So do you have to apply for a different license for that, or would that all fall under your licensing?
It depends on the vehicle, mainly.
Yeah.
Okay.
To answer, to be quick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Fisk?
Just wondering, I heard you say used vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
What was the purpose of starting with a used vehicle?
A lot of startup transit services actually start with a used vehicle. So this one would come from Transport Eclair in the region of Clare, and they were the very first transit service started, and they kind of take other new transit services kind of under their wing, and so they've and they're quite well known for keeping good maintenance of their vehicles, and so it's an affordable entry point for a transit service, fully new would be about $70,000, and
you're
this
picking the vehicle up from another transit.
Exactly.
System.
Yeah.
So cuts down the cost there, I expect.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And the idea is to save money, but there would be a thorough check done to make sure that we're not getting something worn out.
Yeah.
I might add that we have visited various other transit systems throughout the province. Mm-hmm. And I remember one in particular, Mr. Johnson, and who was the other guy with us?
Gary.
Gary Jones and myself. We went down to see the Clare development, and you're just blown away. They really have a system. Now, that's 20-some years old. It started just the way we're trying to start it down here. You walk before you can run. And we don't want this to be something you drag around your neck that financially.
So
we're doing everything we can that it doesn't become that.
So can I ask, do you feel that the province is treating you fairly?
They want this to happen.
Yes. Especially since this is one of the last areas in the province.
The reason I say that, because I understand there's an announcement yesterday that's got a system in Bridgewater for $200,000.
Yep.
And here's a new system starting up that's very much needed. And I can't see why the government doesn't get very well.
For a fixed route service in Bridgewater or Yarmouth, that, are we talking about, is that the one? Yeah. It doesn't fall under the same funding program.
Pardon?
It doesn't fall under the same funding program. This is specifically for a door-to-door rural transit service.
Yeah, I understand.
As opposed to a fixed route, yeah.
Okay. I mean, this is a great opportunity. The presentation was just excellent. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Councillor Kelly?
I just wanted to just look into the future a little bit and just clarify a couple of points. So the cost of $150,000 a year to run this, that's the total cost of this going forward unless it increases in the future for whatever outside factors come up. So, and you've got a really strong board, and the board will actually own this transit system and everything to all that infrastructure. I mean, as John says, it is infrastructure. So going forward, though, you are looking, I only see to year three, you're looking for $26,000 from the region. And would you be looking for ongoing, for as long as the system is in place, a similar type of contribution from the region for this system?
Yes, I don't think I can answer formally for the board, but I think it is anticipated that there would be ongoing operational costs associated and an ongoing operational ask of the municipality or the region, sorry, of for funding.
Is that in your formula? Is that in some sort of a percentage to the? To
it would be the
16%.
Yeah. So the 16% would be. Yeah.
Thank you.
Deputy Mayor McLeod.
I understand that great presentation and a lot of work and it's very a lot of dedication from local people. The charitable fundraising that you need. I know they're very tough to get. Is there anything that we can do from our behalf in trying to acquire that? Because that depends on the financial contributions from donors.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's difficult these days to get it. So what stage are you at with that?
Yeah, so the board has just been approved and just gone through that process. So it is anticipated that within the next year they will go through that charitable status
mm-hmm.
process. And at that time, I'm sure there will be a contribution, whether it's a letter for that. We do know, actually, in the board meeting yesterday, the Southwest Nova Transit that operates in Shelburne County, their manager was there. They have just gone through the charitable status, and it actually was quite easy.
Oh.
So that was really reassuring to hear. The process wasn't, and she's already been through it. She is also helping support this board, so she is the one that has been hired as the startup consultant. So she is very familiar with that process. So I would anticipate that, that a charitable status be applied for within the next year. And certainly, you're right, that would absolutely help with the donations and financial contributions.
And the FCM, the Federation of Canadian Municipalities,
mm-hmm.
I believe that they might have some funding or
okay.
programs available through there, so you might want to search that
okay.
out.
That's good to know.
They're very supportive of community programs,
absolutely.
So you might want to check that out.
Thank you.
Any other councillors? Councillor Johnson?
Well, I'd have to be a little bit transparent here because I've been involved with these guys since the get-go, and it's kind of a great day to see this stuff come to fruition here in front of the group. And without the leadership of these two people from Granite, we fumbled, man. hand, we fumbled hard in the first couple of years, so great job you guys, it helped us get to where we are. And the part I like about it, and I think Brian will conclude that is the fact that this is the true meaning of partnership. We finally have a group come to the table with a solution and looking for a very small piece of partnership from the region, partnership going forward. It's something that needs to be recognized from that perspective. And it is infrastructure. And when we say infrastructure, in my mind, that's no different than pipes in the ground. You know, this is part of what's going to grow. It's going to make the housing piece, you know, when we get senior housing, wherever it's going to be at, it's going to keep those people connected. It keeps the youth connected through the school boards and stuff like that. That infrastructure is absolutely what we have to be looking at from that perspective. And I hope it's going to be when we approve the funding, not if we approve the funding, that we look at other options. Because as Councillor Kelly said, we're looking at this going forward. So no different than infrastructure and sewer and water pipes, why this couldn't be capitalized. And, you know, I don't know all the ins and outs from the financial side of it, but I'm going to touch on this thing that's going to be very sensitive to some, I'm quite sure. You know, we get the gas tax credit every year. You know, let's leverage that a little bit to help, you know, fund that, or at least look at some options, a different way of seeing how we apply that stuff. But I think those are the things that make this really exciting to move forward. I've got two questions, probably more for Jennifer or the administration side of it. Is, I think, as you saw, my name's on there as one of the board of directors. That is as a role of somebody from North Queens, which keeps all the inclusion in place. But I really feel that there should be a role on that board of directors from council, same as the advisory council for Queens Place, the Planning Commission, and things like that. And I think a little bit of guidance here today for the group and for the new board of directors as to what the formal ask looks like. You know, we saw a budget line, but let's not try to interpret what that ask really is. Let's have that ask as, this is what we need and why we need X number of dollars financially, and what is the ask for the in-kind? What are we really looking for? So that we can present something to council that we all around this table will agree what we're voting on. You know, it means this many dollars, it means this, and it means that. So I think that's something that we need to take away to supply some information to this group, that they're not out there trying to second guess what we're going to try to interpret. So again, great job. It's good to see you pull it all together, because boy, it was murky in the beginning, wasn't it? But anyway, to that end, I think those two questions we should look at ourselves and ask after, what do those two things look like, the role of council on the board of directors, and what does a funding request look like to council? So, thank you.
Councillor Johnson, are you looking for a response at this point in time to your questions?
Not necessarily, no. I the funding one, especially around the gas tax credit and stuff, I'd be disappointed if we had a request at this time, because that would lead me to believe we haven't explored options and stuff like that. So.
Thank you. I have Councillor Frelick next.
I just had a couple questions about logistics. I know it's early on. You're offering a service into Halifax and different places from your presentation. I know this is really early on, but out of my own curiosity, how logistics work when you're having door-to-door within Liverpool and then having that? So I'm assuming that's further down the road.
It is. So the volunteer driver program would be an essential part of that. So that would be offering the door-to-door kind of medical appointments, hour here, hour there. And then that accessible van may take four or five people to further afield. So that's further down the road, but that's absolutely part of it. So there will be more vehicles, whether they're volunteer vehicles, whether they're donated vehicles, there will be more vehicles.
And that's the critical role of the dispatcher, is to kind of coordinate all of that. And as more volume picks up, then you can kind of, they pick out patterns in terms of, you know, what's the volume of ridership in different regions, and so they can kind of better coordinate in that way as well.
Great. Thank you. Great presentation. Well done.
Any other councillor? Deputy Mayor LaPlante?
just a suggestion for partnerships, and it's the actual tasks of some of your volunteer people. And the dispatching is an important role, because then that's when you get all the confusion and you get all the kind of the bundles of things that happen. You may want to consider contacting the call center, because they've offered many times to assist with some of their employees. And they're very open, and once you get your plan in place, then it's more information that they could really take and say, okay, yes, this is doable from our aspect, so we might want to do that.
We had looked at Senior Wheels, Gary Jones and I, this goes back, this must be almost 4 years ago, and they have a system that is so good that they have so much extra money. So my feeling is, in the future, there could be an improvement, so that we could end up having enough money to run this thing and not have a shortfall, which would, I don't know, maybe decrease the amount that we need from you guys, because we've just, the board, I think, is a good board, having said that. And I think that there's as many opportunities out there as you can ever squeeze in your head if you just want to think a little bit. Give you an example. One of the things that I thought of was, and we're nowhere near this now, how many groups, and I'm thinking White Point, would want to go on a wine tour up to the valley? We'd be there. That would make us some money. And it would serve us a need in the community. It would serve us one of our major employers in the community. We even talked about the possibility of a run to get employees there at a certain time in the morning. That hasn't been really developed at all. I don't know if that'll happen. There's so many opportunities here, and I think that's why I'm excited about this board. These are thinking people. Many of them are successful business people. The future, it could be pretty darn bright with this thing. And I don't think we always have to think that we're just going to be treading along, begging for money all the time. That isn't my idea, anyway. But that's where we are now. And the government, we think the time is right. The government is saying, do it, guys, because we would love to say at the next election that we now have transit groups throughout the province. So we're going to do our best to make sure that happens, at least for Queens County. And this is all Queens County. Not just South Queens, this is all Queens County.
Councilor Fancy?
I like that where you had on the slides about community college. It could be some people with disabilities, but there's also, too, the children up here who do not have ways to travel down to community college. And you'd hate to see them miss out on an opportunity for education because they can't afford the rent down there, or they have to stay at home. And that they could be able to, so that, I think that's a big, that could be a big thing for education-wise, and help people get ahead. And again, as you said, it could be things like, I don't know, maybe I'm reaching, but Michelin, if somebody goes to work at 8 o'clock, and you could have that to go down at 8 o'clock to drop people off, they just have to meet a certain spot. Could be employment opportunities and things like that.
Well, and to give an example, Antigonish also, the service there had an initiative where they took seniors on tours to different, Peace by Chocolate and, different things in their community. And that they got a funding grant through some seniors programming, but that allowed for the use of that transit services vehicles to go there. So as you said, the possibilities are really there for really interesting projects.
Councillor Kelly?
I'd like you to comment on when you're in pre-pilot and pilot, and you say that that's going to be what determines what your model is going to be, and you're all-inclusive of all of Queens County. What is your plan to ensure that all Queens County residents know about this and know how it works and know how they can access it in order to ensure that you get the right model? Not that it can't change going on, but how are you going to engage with all of Queens County residents to make use of this service?
That's a great question. I think as part of the business plan and part of the pre-implementation activities that are required by the province is to do a very comprehensive communication and outreach strategy. So beyond the partners that are already involved and through their clients. So we already have established partners like RCMP and VON and Senior Safety that have clients identified. beyond that outreach, there's going to be a certain community engagement as well as branding. So you'll see the vehicle on the road at different events, things like that. So there's quite an approach and a strategy that involves communication to the greater community. Of course, and we've learned from other transit service providers, is that it's a lot about word of mouth as well. So we're really trying to get into kind of the different pockets of the communities and really realize how rural the communities are. But there's all kinds of initiatives that work, whether it's like bring a friend aboard, you know, those sort of things. There's all kinds of different programs and strategies that can work as part of that. So I think it's, and it's certainly through people like you, certainly
right.
The people that are connected to the community and connected to the residents that live there, to tell them, to say, this is something that's starting, this is something that's available, this is something, and it is, and certainly to refine that model as part of the pre-pilot. And the province recognizes that, you know, it's not set in stone, and they've already established that with transit service providers is that it can change and things can modify, and that each community and each rural area is unique, so that a service, the transit service needs to be unique to those needs. So it will be modifiable, and there is certainly a comprehensive communication strategy that will be out there. So.
And if I could add to that as well, that the municipality can play an important role, not just the councillors, but if you have newsletters or on your website or to promote the service. So.
Councillor Chris?
Just a quick question on the volunteer drivers, volunteer vehicles
mm-hmm.
also.
Mm-hmm.
How would that work? You would, for example, let me pick on myself. If you have an appointment in Halifax to go, you make sure there's lots of notice to that individual.
Mm-hmm.
So what about the vehicle, say you're using your vehicle, the insurance, how does that work?
They're covered through the transit, we need to purchase insurance, and so they're covered.
The volunteer driver is covered through the transit service insurance.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's one of our costs.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's one of the.
I know this is probably a stupid thing at this point to ask, but it's.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
And just as well, I don't know if we mentioned it, but the volunteer drivers are reimbursed on a per kilometer basis, so they're not incurring gas costs, and there's often a stipend.
There's a volunteer driver stipend
embedded
in the budget.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, by the way, one other thing. My feeling is, and I think it's accepted, I hope this is not a surprise in the board, nobody will be refused because they can't afford it. You have a health problem, you're going to get to a hospital, you're going to get to that hospital.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So that's, I just want that to be known. We are not going to say no because you can't afford it. And we will have a fund to cover that.
That's a good point.
Any other councillors have a question or comment this morning? Well, I'd like to thank you for your presentation this morning. It's very interesting. And the council will seek staff advisement on your proposal and will certainly be responding back to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That'll be it. I'm not sure that. Yeah.
So we'll continue with council now that everybody shifted seats and moving on to 4.0, tabling of petitions. Do we have any petitions for this morning? Any petitions for the second call? Third and final call petitions? We have no petitions today. Under 5.0, public question comment session, we allow members of the public gallery to speak this morning, and we would ask that you please state your name, your address, and limit your comments to 5 minutes or less, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Leon Robertson, Cobble Street in Westfall. Sorry I missed the last week.
Some of the grocery store.
Questions here, comments. First of all, the presentation that we just finished on transportation is a very good one. It looks like it will be a goal if they can get their ducks off in a row, which apparently they get pretty well lined up at this point. And I noticed it was mentioned, which I heard on the radio this morning, 200,000 that the town of Richmond has received for their transportation system. So they can keep that going. So let's hope that these people will be able to leverage some money from the problems and what have you. Vehicle system to get up and running is something that we need. And I noticed that Mr. Murray mentioned there that the Queen's Care Society, where this has been well started, indicated that you need there, and I believe it was a priority with respect to seniors, residential housing, assisted living, and so on. That's what they're looking at. So let's hope that that is still on the burner somewhere along the way with that society, because we don't want to see our seniors having to continue to move to other counties. You've heard me on that soapbox before. Anyway, let's hope that it gets off the ground, I think it will. The other thing is the presentation at the previous meeting there with respect to the playground for the autistic children and so on. And I see it's on the agenda here today for approval for some funding and so on, which is requested, which will come up later. I think that's a good program as well, and the one that is needed. The question there is, with these new programs coming on, Mr. Mayor, I'm wondering, is our tax base increasing, the assessment base increasing to the point where perhaps we don't have to increase the tax rate?
No, it's not.
It's not increasing to that point?
Nope.
So when these new programs come on, we will notice that on our tax bill, as they come on, is that correct?
You may, depending on what direction the other parts of the budget go in.
Yeah, because you could be doing, I realize when you get into budgeting, it's a bit of a complicated process, this and that, try to make it so that it can grow at a reasonable rate. And I was just wondering if the tax base, because I didn't think that it was, but I just wanted to make sure that I was correct on that thinking. Okay, one last thing, if my 5 minutes is not quite up, Mr. Mayor, I'm wondering if you can answer this question this morning. There's lots of rumors over on the screen that everybody's saying what's coming over to Queen's Place. I noticed that the fencing is up now. The contractor was in there with a lot of heavy equipment as of yesterday and starting to put the shovel in the ground, as they say. I'm wondering if there's all kinds of rumors, as from a dollar store, Dollarama, to Giant Tire and all other stores. Can you tell us what is going to be open here first?
Plaza Retail REIT advises us that their tenants advise themselves. So we're waiting for that notification as to who will be there from the tenant.
They haven't told you.
We asked previously and they refused to give us their tenant. And one needs to consider that we did an agreement with the landlord, who is a national leasing company, which puts tenants in their properties that may change over periods of time. So that is their policy. And as I say, we're not advised by them as to who their tenant would be.
You're not privy to that information at this point. The thing is, there would have to be a building permit in place, but would that be obtained by the developer?
They would be the owner of the property, and they would apply for
their
building permit. They would
apply for the permit, so that wouldn't provide you with any further information.
We would not have privy information to the tenant at this point.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak this morning?
I'm not associated with the Danbury here, number 12, so I have one question. with the public transportation, it's Monday to Friday, so what happens Saturday and Sunday? If you get seniors and that, the water.
And that is a good question, and unfortunately, that's a question of the transit group. We're not privy to all of the information in their planning as it unfolds, but I'm certain that there are those in the room that are hearing the question that would take that through the board to work to a resolve. Thank you for your question. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak this morning? Okay, thank you very much. We will move on now to 6.0, approval of minutes for the regular council meeting on February the 13th. It would be appropriate to have a motion to approve those minutes if there's no errors or omissions in the minutes circulated. Are there any errors or omissions? Hearing none, a motion to accept the minutes would be in order. Moved by Councillor Fisk, seconded by Councillor Fancy. Councillor Hughes is outside of the council chambers at this minute. Councillor Hughes, we are ready for the vote on the minutes of the February 13th council meeting. It's been moved and seconded. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? Unanimous, thank you. We have nothing today under 7.0, dangerous or unsightly premises. Nothing today to bring forward under 8.0, economic development. Under corporate services, we have 9.1, Hillview Acres job description, head cook. Councillor Fisk, would you like to take the lead on 9.1?
I so recommend that the council reach the Queens municipality approve a job description for head cook, Hillview Acres.
Seconded for that? Seconded by Councillor Fraley. Interim CAO, Lieutenant Christina Hinton, if you'd like to give us an update on this.
James Hinton is an update on February.
Thank you. Thank you.
We've recently received notification from the province that we don't actually need the additional certification for the training cook at Hillview Acres for our resident care facilities, so we're modifying our job description. It will make us easier, much easier for us to staff that.
Yeah, so the head cook position is a full-time position, and it's necessary for the efficient operation of the dietary department at Hillsview Acres. And we currently have long-term union members who are qualified and have the adequate experience to fulfill that position. So I am just asking for your approval to approve the job description.
Are there any questions or comments of council this morning on this issue? Hearing none, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. And thank you, Jane. We have nothing under 10.0. Yes, Stephanie.
May I just say, before Janie goes, I just want to say thank you very much, Janie, for a great job out at Hillsview. You're just doing a fabulous job over the years, and we're very proud of you.
Thank you.
Moving on, we have nothing under 10.0, engineering works this morning. Under 11.0, finance, we have 11.1, administrative policy number 9, respecting tax exemptions. Councillor Hughes, would you like to take the lead on 11.1?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approves the Administration Policy 9 respecting tax exemptions as amended, copy attached.
Seconder to that motion? Councillor Fisk, would you like to give us an update on this, Jennifer?
So we review our policy each year, and this is regarding the proof of your low income or household income according to our application process, and then we grant you a credit, $250 credit towards your property tax bills. We keep moving the low income amount by which we measure that by, and we move that according to Revenue Canada's grants. So this is the Revenue Canada standard at the moment, and then we also double check the other municipalities around us to kind of keep ourselves in line.
Any questions or comments of council? Councillor Kelly?
I was just curious, I know it's difficult, you have to set an amount and everything and guesstimate based on previous years how many people are going to apply for it, but is that a cap? Is that total amount, the 260 people based on 20, you know, based on applying for that, did I see a total amount?
$65,000 is what we would have budgeted, but
yeah.
No, it wouldn't be capped. If there were more people that applied and qualified, we would allow them to have the exemption.
Okay. And where, how is that funded then from that?
It would be an overage in the budget.
Okay.
Any other counselor? Are you ready for the question on the motion? All those in favor of the motion? Any opinions? Thank you.